Heavenly Father, we just come to you, and thank you,
praising you, God, for this time we spent together, God. We thank you for the songs we've sung, and Lord, what we've done in these songs, wanting to lift up and praise our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I hope what we've done has been pleasing to you, Lord, just been music to your ears as it has ours. Lord, I pray for Brother John as he comes, brings a message, a little bit, just give him the words, let your Holy Spirit speak through him. And Father, if there's anyone here today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that this would be the day they'd give their hearts to Jesus. Don't put it off. None of us are promised tomorrow. No one knows when their time comes. And I hope we don't wait until it's too late. God, we love you and we want to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you all. Thank you for leading us. We're going to have a video up here, and I want you to think about this. I want you to think that maybe your mom, especially on this front row, maybe your mom is a secret agent sent by God to show you something. Okay? All right. Play that video, Bert. Come here, boy. I asked that young man sitting on my lap if he had a mama. I said, "Do you have a mama?" "Mm-hmm." I said, "Does your mama love you?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, God loves you and your mama. You know, and he just wants you to know. Do y'all have stories about your mama?" I mean, we're going to look at a scripture. You can turn there, Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 through 18. That's where we're going to be at in the scripture. And I'm just going to tell you that God is trying to show us how much he loves us. And in order to do that, he takes what I believe is the best human example we could relate to. And that's the examples of how a mama loves. Now, his point's going to be this. My love is stronger than a mama's love. But when he was thinking about how to compare his love to something else, all he could think about was mama love. Do y'all have stories of your mama? I got stories of my mama. I'm still afraid of my mama. And you know, it might not sound good, but I tell you, it's good. It's good. I have a righteous and holy fear of the mama who grabbed me up when I was a youngin' and slapped me right when I needed to be slapped. She didn't ever have to do it again. But I still believe she would if she needed to. Scares me to death. I'm afraid of my mama in a good way. My mama knows me. I'm going to tell you, if I get beat up, chewed up, and spit out in this world, I know who I'm going to call. After I pray to my God, I'm going to call my mom because she loves me. Mom's love is a proverbial love. That means it's just like, it's almost like something we take for granted. You ever see a big old football player? Big old boy. He's up there, he's got his arm all out there and his sleeve rolls up. He's got a tattoo on his arm. Big old heart. What does it say? Does it say dad or does it say mom? Big old brute old boy, man. Just, I'm going to get a tattoo. What you going to get? Mama. You know, these boys, they go into the pros. They start playing football in the pros. You know, what do you think they do with that? This is statistical. What do you think the first big purchase they make with that signing bonus they get from the NFL or the Major League Baseball or basketball? What do you think the first big purchase they buy? What do you think it is? What is it? A house for mom. How'd y'all know that? It's just true. They just buy mama a house. They're like, here, this is for you. This is the fun. This is for the one who sacrificed for me. This is the one who put themselves out for me. Now, does everybody have, is every mom the best mom in the world? No. Moms are people. Moms have limits. Most of the time, kids try to find out what the limits of their mom are. And then mom gets into some sayings like, I'm going to whoop your tail. A mama who don't like to say shut up ends up saying shut up. Shut up, for I drop kick you through the goalpost of life. I brought you into this world, and I will take you out. You know, they try to find the limits of that mama's love. Let me tell you some stories, and you all think of some stories, but I just want you to hear from history some of the leading men in our country and our world, what they said about their mama. John Quincy Adams, he said this about his mama: all that I am, my mother made me. Abraham Lincoln said this: all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Napoleon, this wasn't in America now, that's in France, whole different country. But I want you to think about what he says about his country. Let France have good mothers, and she will have good sons. Ooh. I want to tell you, there are some national implications to motherhood in America today. National implications to being a good mom. Did y'all watch some of those riots happening in Baltimore? Do you remember what happened when that one mama saw her son out there protesting? She ran up into the midst of protesters, and that son had his whole face covered up except for his eyeballs sticking out over a bandana and a hoodie. Just two eyeballs sticking out. And she looked with mama eyes. Boom! Boom! She recognized that boy through his disguise. She ran up to him and said, boy, what you doing? Now look, right before, that boy was cussing. He's swearing. He's throwing rocks at policemen. This is how bold he was. I'm going to throw rocks at policemen. I'm going to be bold and I'm going to be mean. When he made eye contact with his mama, he went, stop, mama, stop, mama. Oh, Mama. And Mama was giving him right hooks in the face. Oh, bop, bop. Calling that Mom, bop, bop, Mom. She said, bop, bop, bop. She backed that mean old young man right up. We got stories about our mamas. We got mama stories. Listen to this one, just one more. This is from Thomas Edison. He says, I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence that has lasted all my life. If it had not been for her appreciation and faith in me at critical times in my experience, I should never have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, but her firmness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. Isn't that something? And we can look in the Bible. There's other parts where Timothy, who becomes the spiritual son of Paul, Paul leads him to the Lord. But Paul said this, you understand faith because it was there in your mama. And she understood faith because it was there in her mama. And there was this legacy and this bonding of faith. So I just want to say thank you to everyone here who's a mama. And that doesn't mean you have biological children. And can I tell you, you never get old enough to you don't need a mama. At least I haven't got that old yet. Maybe you all have. But I still need that. I need that influence, that godly wisdom, that temperament, that patience, that willingness to be a servant, or really not to be a servant, but to serve. If you think you're stout, I challenge the stoutest guy in here, outserve a mama one day. Go ahead and try. They will whoop your tail. You would be wore out, wouldn't know what to do with yourself. I wouldn't mess with my mama. My mama pays to come down here to spend money on her grandchildren and her only child. I think about my own economy. I don't have any, my economy don't flow that way. She pays to come and pay some more and spoil us. I think, my goodness, I couldn't compete with my mama. Hey, while we're here, we got a new mama, and daddy, and we got a baby boy, Cameron. Let's lift Cameron up. His first day in church. Man, praise God for mamas and they bring their baby. There we go. There's baby Cameron. Just, 3 weeks old. Or just, 3 weeks, 2 days, or something like that. It's right in that area. But we praise God. We prayed for this baby on Wednesday nights and prayed for mama. And mama and baby are healthy and they're here with us. Praise God. Isn't that good? Oh, that's good. Let me read these verses to us. And we'll talk about what they mean. Some great verses. Chapter 49, starting in verse 13 of the book of Isaiah. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth. Break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people, and he will have mercy on the afflicted. But Zion, which is a way of referring to the people of God, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. And God responds by saying, can a woman forget her nursing child? Can a woman not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely, it's possible they may forget. Yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your sons shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes, look around and see. All these gather together and come to you. And as I live, says the Lord, you shall surely clothe yourselves with them all as an ornament and bind them on you as a bride does. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that you would open our eyes to a love that's stronger than the strongest love we've known on earth. Father, would you help us? Would you help us to have faith in your love, in you, in your person? And would you give hope to the hopeless here today? Because I guess there's some people who've come in here who are looking for something they can hope in. They're hoping for a future that will turn out brighter than what they see right now in the present day. Would you give them hope? Because this text, your word, has hope all over it. And Lord God, we give ourselves to you, and we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you about this chapter. In chapter 49, Isaiah is telling them of good things to come. He's telling them about the Messiah. If you go back and read the first 12 verses, it's about Messiah. It's about Jesus Christ coming. It's about the hope of all the world coming to set things straight. And then he breaks out into this praise. Oh, sing the heavens and rejoice the earth and move. Let the mountains dance. The party has started already because God has promised us good things. That's what verse 13 is about. It's summing up all the good things that God promised. Hey, if you don't know this today, God has promised not just good things, but great things through faith in Jesus Christ. Not just a little bit good, but a whole lot great. These are the promises of God. And I don't know if you've been taught in your home or your experience, but I'd like to share with you right now, God is not a liar. There's a couple things that make people liars. One, if they say things that they know are not true, they lie. But if they say things that they have no power over, even if those things are true and they mean them, but they have no power to accomplish them, they also lie. If somebody came in here and said, I want to give you $1 million, and that was true, just as true as can be, but they didn't have $1 million to give, what did they just do? They lied, didn't they? Can I tell you this? Every promise of God, not only is it true to his heart, but he has the money in his wallet to make it happen. You understand what I'm saying? When he promises eternal life, I'll give you everlasting life. He wasn't trying to build up your self-esteem. He was telling you what he wants to do and what he can do through his power. He can give you eternal life. That's a promise of God. He can give you peace in your heart. You know, we'll talk about this in a minute, but what mama wouldn't want peace for their children? To have real peace, have real serenity deep inside who they are. All mamas want that for their kids, but you know what? Mamas, just like daddies, we can't reach in there and turn things around and transform things. But what about God? Can God reach in on the inside? Oh, I'm going to tell you, all you mamas, all that mama influence, desire the best for your children. Desire that they come to know the one and the true God, okay? Because God's telling them a good thing. And in this text, in our Bible passage before us, they're slow to believe it. They're slow to believe the promise of God. They feel hurt by God. You know, sometimes people feel hurt by God. Have you ever felt hurt by God? Have you ever wondered why God is allowed the things to come into your life that he has allowed? Have you ever felt like God forgot you? That God has forsaken you? That God has left you alone? That he's not looking at you? That he don't care to see you? Have you ever been there? That's what these people are saying. In verse 14, the people of God said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. The Lord doesn't care about me. He's letting us get our butts kicked. He's letting us lose the fight. He's not showing up in the critical times." This was forecasting a time. This is before the people of God went into exile, before the nations had taken control of them, godless nations. But it's forecasting that time, and it's forecasting the comfort that would follow that time. And the people of God are saying, I just don't know that I believe and trust that God has a great plan for us. I feel left alone. Since mamas are our illustration, I wonder if there's any mamas who ever felt left alone. Left alone. That the weight of the world was on your shoulders. That you didn't have anyone you could turn to. You were overwhelmed. It was over your head. And you were just hoping and praying to God that something would change and that somehow there would be a sign that said that God didn't leave you, that God didn't forsake you, that he wouldn't do that, that he surely loved you. Does anybody here relate to that? You don't even got to be a mama to relate to that. Anybody here feel overwhelmed and need a sign from God? Because can I tell you, God in this passage gives us a sign. A sign that we can look to, that we could look to today to find hope, to find purpose, to find the truth that God hasn't forsaken us, that God hasn't forgotten his people. And I love this sign. There is no greater sign. And can I tell you, when you're in the dumps, when you're looking for hope, can I point you right now, listen to me, look to Jesus. That sounds trite and cliche sometimes. But I'm telling you to look to Jesus, because there is no greater sign. There is no greater light. Matter of fact, it's in this passage where he's talking about what the Messiah would do. And part of what Messiah is going to do is bring a great light to all the world, to bring a great light to even those who are not God's people. Those who are Gentiles. Back in that time, there was such a distinction. But in verse 6, it says, I will also give you, and it's talking about Jesus, talking about Messiah, I will give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. We're talking about Jesus. And so if you've ever run out of hope, if you've ever gotten down, I want you to think about the Lord Jesus, and I want you specifically to think about his hands right now. I want you to think about his hands, because when the people of God felt forsaken, God compares his love to the greatest earthly example of love, which is our mamas. And he says, can a mama forget her nursing baby? This is the baby. You know, when they're cute, they're in that cute stage. You know, children are often like, they're like caterpillars and stuff. You know, they go through that cute little pupa stage. They're in that pupa. They're nice. You know, and I know butterflies are beautiful, and they ought to grow up and be beautiful, but man, how irritating. They're flying around the house all the time. They're always looking for the next great pretty flower, you know, and they're doing all this stuff, and golly, hard to contain. You wonder when they're coming home. My kids called. This was so weird. My kids don't have a phone, and we got a phone call from our kid. Thought to ourselves, what in the world's going on? He said, Mama, he talked to his mama, didn't talk to his daddy, because daddy was just, I don't think he has my number. It says something. He has mama's number. He called mama. Mama, we need a ride. You were just outside in the front. Where are you at? They went down to the creek, and they followed the creek up as far as what they could go. And they're at some lake. We didn't even know what the name of it was. Mama, need a ride. And I'm thinking, don't give him a ride. Just let their lazy butts walk back up the creek. I mean, the creek could go two ways. Just walk back. We don't want to walk back, Mama. They had all this stuff. They had carried this little fishing stuff and all that. We need a ride. And then she takes my car, piles all these nasty, dirty creek boys in my car, and drives them back up and comes and complains. I don't know why they were down. I'm like, I don't know why you gave them a ride. Well, I was worried about them. See, they're not, my kids have, except for my boys have out, let me just specify, y'all know I got two boys, two girls. The boys have done grown right out of cute. They're not even in cute anymore. They can't spell cute. I'm like, you stinky, which these teenage boys and they smell bad. You stinky boys. But their mama, she jumped in that car. And it wouldn't matter if they was covered in leeches and head-to-toe creek muck. She piled them in that car because she didn't want to think about them being out there by themselves. I'm going to tell you something. That love that mama has, God's love is even greater. What kind of nasty creek mud have you gotten on yourself in this life? What kind of nasty places have you been? What kind of neglect and disrespect have we given to God? You know, because this is the other thing I noticed about these kids that aren't cute. They don't usually get A's in respect and honoring their mother. We'll deal with father later. But they don't get A's in respect. They talk to her in ways that drives me nuts. I wouldn't get away with it. You know, I told them I couldn't talk to my mom that way. I can't even talk to my wife that way. Makes me fire up. Man, I want to, you know, as soon as I go to defend her, guess who's stopping me? She says, no, don't. It's all right. We'll get it. We'll take care of it. That patient mama love. But I'm going to tell you, how patient has God been with you in the places you've gotten yourself stuck, in the disrespect that we give him? If the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love other people, how often have you been guilty of not loving God and not loving other people? And yet, God, in His great love, has inscribed your name on the hands of His Son with the nails that pierced Him to the cross. How patient, how loving, how kind. This is what He's done. If you've lost hope, look to the hands of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus, help me. I know you've paid the price for me. Listen, it says, you can, even if a mama forgets that cute little baby that's nursing, even if she forgets the baby that's just been born, He says, I will never forget you. See, I've given you a sign. The hands of the Messiah will be marked, reminding Him of you always. His hands will be scored. His hands will be pierced, reminding me of you always. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He would have to forget the precious hands of His Son to forget you, to forsake you. He says, see, I've inscribed it. The idea is writing. The idea is even tattooing. The idea is inscribed, engraved. It's in there. It's cut in. Where we're standing looking at this prophecy that was given so many years ago, they couldn't have seen the hands of Christ. They didn't understand. Maybe if they got to chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah, maybe they understood. But as New Testament Christians, and we're looking back on the prophecies in the Old Testament, we can see the hands of Jesus bleeding and pierced for you and for me. Not because we are good enough, but because He loved us. What a gift He's given us. What an awesome display of unforgettable, ceaseless love. Ceaseless love. I wonder if we could do just a little experiment. I'll lead us in it, whether we do it or not, it's up to you. But I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to just imagine Jesus Christ, however you envision Him. He's greater than what we could ever envision, so don't worry about that. But I want you to look at His hands. I want you to remember that He once came to a doubting disciple named Thomas. The disciple said, I'm not going to believe until I can see the piercings in His hands, until I can see the hole in His side. And I want you right now to imagine, what did His hands look like? What did the hands of Jesus Christ look like when He came down from the cross? What glory now shone in His hands where the nails once pierced? What does that look like? Can you see Him? Can you imagine, just like Thomas, when he came to realize what His hands, how loving that He gave His own hands, His own body for us. Thomas bowed before Him and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus told him, Thomas, stop doubting and believe. Would you all do that? You can open your eyes again. Would you all do that in the light of who Jesus Christ is and what He has done and how His love is proven? Would you stop doubting whatever it is? Whenever you feel hopeless and you doubt that God can salvage your life, when you doubt He can salvage your circumstances or your mistakes or your sin and make something great, would you stop and look at the hands of Jesus and say, it's in His hands, it's in the handiwork of my God that I believe that there's something greater for me. I believe there's a hope and a future for me in Christ, and I'll be embraced by His hands one day. Oh, but let it be now by faith. Faith is a way of seeing. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It's the proof of things not seen. It's a way of perceiving. Will you believe that Jesus Christ and His sacrifice was more than enough to secure you in all your mistakes and misgivings and sin and insecurities, that He can wrap you up in those hands and that your name is written on them, written boldly? Let me tell you why. And we spoke of this, but let's speak of some of the future blessings. In our country, we are in the middle whether we're the silent ones, but there's a debate going on of whether or not all that has to do with God needs to be rejected from anything that has to do with public square, public arena. This has been going on for a long time, but it's coming to a point now where you're not going to be able to be silent about it for much longer. And I'm going to tell you something that God gave to me. I have hope in the Lord, but my hope is really in the Lord and really in my citizenship in heaven. Now, I have children and a great investment in this world, in this country. But can I tell you that I believe God said, hope in me in a bigger way, in a brighter way. Hope in me in heaven. And I fear that many of us as Christians even have got caught up in the hope in America that it's going to be back to Leave It to Beaver Day someday, some great day when we get the right president in the White House or this or that. Can I tell you? Stop that delusion. The hope is in God and in Christ and in heaven. That's our hope. That's our hope. It's always been that way. We are not the exception. We don't get a pass because we're America and Americans. And I'm going to tell you something. It still can be good. It still can be good. But the great is yet to come. And I'm going to tell you some of the things that he tells us here. There's some transforming things about the love of God. That's what really makes God's love surpass your mama's love. I ain't trying to be mean to your mama. But some of the things that transform, that make God's love greater, is that it can change you. Just like a mama's love can be there, but it doesn't always change us. You know, it doesn't always have the power to make us. Remember that song by Elvis? In the ghetto, and a mama cried. I used to hear that song. I used to cry. I grew up in the ghetto, and I was like, I didn't want to disappoint my mama. But when I opened myself to the love of God, he made me different. He made me different. So let me give you just three blessings, three things that I think how it transforms us. The love of God will transform his people into a glorious bride. I believe these verses, 17 and 18 in chapter 49, are speaking about a day yet to come for us. It was a day yet to come for them, but it's a day yet to come for us. It's a heavenly day. It's the day we sang about the first song, this set. There's a, you know, one, was it a cloudless day? Whatever it was we sang, it was good. It was about what I'm preaching about, and God just arranges that stuff, and it's awesome. But I want you to know that there's going to be a blessing that will outlast the curse. There will be a blessing that will outlast the curse. He says here, not only to say, I've written you on the palms of your hands, he says, but your walls are continually before me. Your sons shall make haste, your destroyers, and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. And let me tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about there's going to be a day, and some translations, like in the NIV, it doesn't say your sons will make haste. It says your builders will make haste. They will be building faster than the destroyer can be destroying. And I'm going to tell you, one day, the blessing is going to outlast the curse, outbuild the curse, and there will be nothing left of the curse that came to humanity through sin, and all that will remain is the blessing of God in the city of God for the glory of God, and that's what will be left. The blessing will outlast the curse. We know that. We can look at that in the book of Revelation, and it says the curse is gone, but the blessing remains. There's a blessing that will outlast the curse. There's a gathering that will overcome all loneliness. Now, this is preferred, the definition where it says your sons will make haste. And in verse 18, it says, lift up your eyes, look around and see all these gathered together, and they come to you. They're gathering together and they come to you. This is talking about a people who lost their children. They lost their children. But it says it's going to be like your children were restored unto you. They've come back to you. If you read the rest of chapter 49, that's what it's about. It's about these children coming back to you. How kings and princes and queens will bring your sons and your daughters in their arms, and they'll bring them back to you. It's a time of restoration. It's a time of gathering. Can I say this? There's a generation, and maybe more than one generation in America, that got lost. That got lost. Lost with the ways of God, lost with the reality of God. And they got so into them, into themselves, philosophically, Even in worship and worshiping their own needs, their own success, their own wealth, their own selves, that they were lost. And I believe this. I believe we'll see children being born into the kingdom. We're going to see, if we look at this right, we'll understand that there's going to be a mountain gathering of real born again children. There's going to be a restoration and a gathering that will take all the loneliness that we had because of the dreams of this world crashing down on themselves, that we'll feel just full and rejoicing that God has brought onto us children. It may not be our own. It may not be biologically ours in some cases, but we're going to see them. Have you ever, hey, church, isn't it good to pour into the lives of young men and women? Isn't it good, whether it's youth or whether it's the little ones, and to tell them and to be that influence that tells them that Jesus loves them, to be that influence that teaches them the Word of God and how they become like our children? We were talking about the school system. And I forget what conversation I was in, but we have to see and say those children are ours. Can I tell you there's other forces in this world trying to claim them, trying to dominate the school system, but the church needs to see those are our children, and God intends them to be gathered together with us, and one day there will be a great gathering that will be better than anything you've ever been involved in. Do y'all believe that? Do you believe that the blessing will outlast the curse? Do you believe that there's going to be a gathering? Now, heaven's not just about seeing Mama and Mima and Papa Grandpa and, Grandpa, tell us about the good old days. That's not what heaven's going to be about, but can I tell you, if they know Jesus Christ, there'll be a gathering, there'll be a reunion, they will be there. It won't be about them, and it won't be about us, but it will be about all of us gathered together for the glory of Jesus Christ. That day is coming, and that's part of this prophecy saying there's a gathering. Look up. Look around. There's going to be an ingathering of people for the glory of Christ. That's going to happen. Lastly, I want you to see this. The glorious dress will replace the filthy garments. The glorious dress will replace the filthy garments. And I can't preach this on Father's Day because, there's no man really excited about fitting into a, glorious dress. It has to be a glorious bedsheet if I'm going to get into it, big old thing. But a glorious dress. It says this, you shall clothe yourself with them as an ornament and bind them on you as a bride does. And here's that picture of this glorious bride. Church, we look around and we see all the blemishes. We see all the spots. We see all the wrinkles. But Jesus Christ will straighten all that out in his church, and we will be glorious. We will be beautiful. We will be called his forevermore. That day is coming because of his strength and his power, and he's going to do that in us. Do y'all believe that? I'm going to tell you, it says it in the Word. It says, it's been given to them the right to wear bright and shining linen because it was the righteous acts of the saints, and they made themselves ready. The church, the bride of Christ, made herself ready to be adorned as a bride. Oh, one sweet day. See, this whole passage was about getting the people of God to remember that God hasn't forsaken them and that their future is bright. Their future is bright. Man, I have to be careful how I say this. But for the enemies of God and the enemies of the people of God, I wouldn't trade for 15 seconds, not for all the wealth, all the tea in China, all the wealth at Fort Knox. I don't care who it is or what it is. I've lived godless before. I've lived where the highest power was mine. I lived when the highest wisdom was mine. I've lived when I didn't care about anybody but me. And I wouldn't trade that for the world because God brought me into his family that I might be part of the glorious body forevermore. Oh, how scared they are who hate Jesus. How ashamed they are that they would put masks over their face when they do what they say is God's work. I wonder if they put masks over their face when they preach too. How ashamed, how shameful and cowardly are the enemies of God that they hide themselves behind goofy laws that they're trying to make, and they hide behind violence and terror, and they can't speak because they don't know love of any kind. Those are the filthy garments we are all covered with. But God one day will change our garments out where we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be our own highest power. We'll receive from God something more beautiful. Can I ask you, have you received from God something more beautiful than you could make yourself? Have you received from Him something? You're going to be questioned on that in this world. Have you received from God something more beautiful than this world could ever afford to give you? Have you received that faith? Have you received that love? Have you received the new birth? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the cleansing and the forgiveness of your sins that's promised by the God that loves you more than your mama? Have you received it? If you have, can I tell you what the response is, the right response? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you can raise your hands in place of His hands, that maybe someday that they'll look to His hands too, and maybe they'll receive, those who haven't, will receive from God what only He can give. Can you do that? Can we give Jesus a thank you this morning? I know it's Mother's Day, but would we, I know mamas, you know, you always are used to yielding. You don't even have names anymore. You're just, you know, the mama of so-and-so. Sarah, I know her name because I have to look at her every once in a while and remember. But, you know, she's usually Josh's mom or Allie's mom or Anna's mom or Levi's mom. That's who she is. But can you yield right now to Jesus too, mama? Can we do that? Can you, on the count of three, can we say thank you, Lord Jesus? If you've received from Him a gift greater than anything in this world could give you, and you're happy about that, it makes you glad inside your heart, we just on the count of three say thank you, Lord Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Can we do it one more time? Because I don't know that He heard us, and I know that He's here with us. And you know, I just, you know, I know He's not hard of hearing, but we might be not as thankful. Because I will preach this whole sermon again about how His love is greater than mama's love if we need to. But let's just thank Him. Let's thank Him from the deep pit in our heart and just thank Him on three. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, that's better. Close your eyes and bow in prayer. Father, oh, I pray right now that You would do a work in us. Continue that work in us. We need to receive from You. If we haven't received forgiveness, no wonder we can't lead other people in forgiveness. If we haven't received from You peace, no wonder we're not peaceful. If we haven't received hope from You, no wonder we're over our head and worried. Oh, Lord, would You give us these things that the world can't afford. The faith that the world offers is a faith in mankind. How ridiculous that is. Would You give us that faith, the faith that comes in the only, that focuses and grabs hold of the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom You've sent, whose hands have been pierced for us. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Jesus. Just eyes closed and heads bowed. If you need to receive something from Him, if you need to receive salvation from Jesus Christ, can I tell you that He is ready? There is nothing He has to do to prepare. He's done it all. It's all finished in Jesus' name. And if you need to give your life to Him in order to receive life from Him and be saved, to be born again, would you raise your hand up that I might pray for you? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But God will know who you are. Just raise your hand up so I can pray for you. If you need to receive something else from Him, you know what it is. If you're overwhelmed and you need hope, if you need peace, you need direction, you need a job, would you raise your hand up and receive from Jesus what He has for you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Father God, there's many people here raising their hands saying they need to receive from You. You're the giver of every good and perfect gift. Your love's better than our mama's love. And I ask right now that You would, Father, just pour out on Christ Community Church, pour out on us right now that hope and what You have for us, the reality of Your great love. Help us to keep the sign of the hands of Jesus on the front of our brain, not in the back of our mind, but on the front, to remember that He paid the price and His love is forever and that He'll never leave us. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. That's Your word. We stand on Your word. It's not our worthiness, it's Your love. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for how you love us. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. Did I scare y'all when I said I would preach that whole thing again? Because you all did really good that second time. Listen, we're gonna get ready to take up our offering, okay? And so I'm going to ask if the ushers would come forward. But I'm also going to ask if we have guests with us, friends, who I don't know how to explain them. I met Pat at an Emmaus walk. Thank you all for letting me do Emmaus stuff as your preacher. And we became fast brothers and met his wife, Shawnee. And we got to talking. And God has given them that where they fit in there. They love to lead people in worship. They're worship leaders. And so I asked them to come and share with us. And so they're going to do that while we're taking up our offering. Don't be in a hurry. I mean, they're not doing a whole concert, you know, but y'all just praise God. Is it okay to praise God after the offering's being taken up? Yeah, y'all come on up. Is it okay for that? Do we have to be one of those churches that we do things right in order? Do we have to be one of them? No. So can I invite you? Open your heart up to the God who loves you more than your mama and worship him right now, okay, while we're taking up this offering and while they continue to go on. But I'm just so glad that they're here. Let me pray for y'all, us all. Lord God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for what you've done in our lives and who you are, who Jesus is, what's going on, the bright future that awaits those who have faith in Christ. Lord, help us not to be ashamed, but to speak boldly. Not to irritate people, but to witness to the goodness of God, that people might be saved when they hear it. And Lord God, thank you for this opportunity to take an offering. And I pray for Pat and Shawnee. Thank you for them being here. And I pray, Lord, that you be with them. And Lord, we give you all the credit. In Jesus' name, amen.